Hey everybody, welcome back to Small Talk Japan. On this show, we talk about all things Japan in English. My name is Mitch, and I'm here today with...
Keegan.
Hi, Keegan.
Nice to meet you.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. My name is Keegan.
Yeah.
I'm from the U.S.
Yeah? Where in the United States?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
The place that nobody's ever heard of.
No, I've heard of it. I've never been there. Is there a reason to go there?
There's nice beaches, and there's a lot of pigs.
Okay. So I'll tell you this. I went to Florida in 2016 for a cruise.
Right.
And have you ever seen the opening scene of The Fifth Element where the aliens come down and they like rock back and forth because they're like round and steel looking things?
Yes.
That's like all the population of Florida.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or another equally accurate description is the spaceship in Wall-E.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's probably a more accurate description.
Everybody in Florida looks like that. I'm just like, damn, guys.
They also can't drive for shit. So,
well, welcome to the show. I guess on the show we just rag on America. No, we love America, guys. We love America, but
yeah,
okay,
we do. But
so what do you do here in Japan? Really quick, before we let's roll the intro, and then you can tell us what do you do here in Japan. What do you do here? What's your job?
I am an English teacher for you.
Yeah. Before that, you were an ALT.
Yeah, before that, I was an ALT.
Yeah, we go back, I don't know, six years, and you know, you came here, fresh youngin. I was like, hey, welcome to Japan. And you're like, cool. And, we got you a new haircut, like, right away.
Yeah, that was desperately needed.
It's like, welcome
to the mustache
welcome to Japan.
As well, too.
Yeah, let's get rid of the mustache, let's get a haircut. Okay, cool. I'll say this, Keegan, your Japanese level has really, really increased in the time that you've been here. Like, when I watch you speaking to people out, we're out having drinks or whatever, I'm just very, very impressed with your Japanese level. You must have studied very hard.
I studied very hard, yeah.
You used to live in China.
I did. I used to live in China. I've forgotten all my Chinese now, so don't ask me to speak it, please.
No. We don't do foreign languages. The only person that does foreign languages on this show is Natsuki, because she fucks up. She does something dumb, and then she starts speaking Japanese. And she just does this over and over. I got a DM on Instagram, like, 3 days ago saying, I love Natsuki. And I sent it to Natsuki, and she's like, what is this? I'm like, what's wrong with you?
That's a very Natsuki response.
I wanted to have her on the show today, but we did radio and she's tired, so she's not here. She'll be here next time. Right. Let's get to the news, because this is Ichio, a news show, I guess. Let's do the positive stuff first. Japan's 330 meter tallest skyscraper, Aza Budai Hills, opens in Tokyo. That's it. There's really nothing else to say about this. It's a big building and no one fucking cares.
Yeah, I actually didn't even know they were building it. And I was in Tokyo like 2 months ago. What, did you? Did you know they were building it?
No, I mean, I know it because I've talked about it on the show before, but I don't even know where is it?
I don't know.
Yep, no idea.
No idea.
Cool. That's that. Speaking of tall stuff, this is actually a fun story. Japan's tallest Ferris wheel adds cold tatsu and hot sake service for a warm way to chill in the sky. Now, this is actually pretty cool. I would actually recommend doing this because it's like, if we're going to show a picture of it, but it's like a little room and it's got a kotatsu, which is like the little heated table. You can get under there and you can have warm sake with your girlfriend or boyfriend or non-binary friend and just have a great time.
That's actually a pretty big inside of that.
Dude, I remember the first time I rode the Ferris wheel on top of Amu Plaza here in Kawashima.
Right.
I was like, psh, this is like a little baby Ferris wheel. This is so dumb. I got it and I was like, damn, this is tall. This is scary. Because I got the clear one.
Yeah. Oh, you got the clear one.
I got the clear
one. There's only
one.
Like one of those, right?
There's like one or two of them, yeah. And I got in there. Jesus. And then the second time I rode that, we'll have him on the show eventually, was my high school friend that lives in Oita named Taro-kun. And he was drinking straight from a bottle of Jack the entire time while we were on it, saying, fuck
it's
yeah!
A good Ferris wheel for that.
Fuck yeah, it's tall! Fuck yeah! Because he's my friend Taro-kun, he's a Nikkei, he was born and raised in America, but he looks like a Japanese dude.
Right.
Like a Japanese dude from Florida, if you catch what I'm saying here.
Yeah, okay.
And anyway, he's great. I put him on the radio show once, and he just sat there and just tormented my female co-host. And just like using weird Japanese and he's just so funny.
He's from Oita, right?
He's from Las Vegas, but he lives in Oita now. Okay. Yeah. Josh met him. I can't explain to him. Like, what? I cannot describe this man. You just have to meet him.
Right.
He's just weird.
Florida man of.
We had Yabe on the show like 5 months ago or something like that. Yabe and Taro-kun are very, very similar.
Who's Yabe?
Yabe is a dude that was on, watch the show. He was a guy that was on the show. Yabe is a guy, okay, he's born and raised in Tokyo, I think, And he went to America to do his master's thesis on Native Americans.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's a really interesting guy. Anyway, first time I met him, he looked at me, and I didn't know he spoke English. One, and I didn't know he spoke perfect English.
Oh.
So he just looks at me, and he goes, this is exactly what he says to me. He says, not another fucking white boy. What are you going to say? You're going to blind me with a piece of dental floss? That's what he said to me. And I look at this dude. I was just like,
wow.
I was like, who are you? And where did you come from?
Was there anything to like warrant that?
No, no. I just walked into a bar where I was supposed to meet him. Like Alex was introducing him. Right. And he just says, not another fucking white boy. I was just like, what? And anyway, after that, we're just drinking and having a great time. He's really cool. I love Yami. Yami might go to Fukuoka. Now. I just got back from Fukuoka, but he might go to Fukuoka later this month. We might hang out. Okay. So, Keegan, let's talk about something that's really, really bad.
Okay. What's something that's really, really bad?
Here's the title, and I'm going to get you to opine on this. He brainwashed her. Tokyo woman says daughter was lured by host ran up huge tab. So, an increasing number of women in Tokyo's Kabukicho nightlife district are selling their bodies at sex establishments and on the streets to pay off bills they have racked up at clubs offering entertainment with male companions known as hosts, with the club's practice of allowing women to run up tabs accelerating the trend. In February this year, one such person, a woman in her 50s living in Tokyo, faced a host that her 24-year-old daughter had become obsessed with. From the end of the previous year, her daughter had asked her mother to meet her boyfriend. However, on the face of the man sitting in front of her, the woman could not sense any emotion. Then the boyfriend turned to the issue of the daughter's debt. She has 9 million yen, about $60,000 to pay, he said.
Wow, that's a hefty sum.
What do you think about this?
I don't even know where to begin with that. Holy crap. That's a lot of stuff to take in.
So what happens, guys, is that, and this isn't just Kabukicho. This happens in all the major cities. These guys find lonely women and they lure them to their host bar. And then they drink a couple bottles of champagne. They have a good time. And it's like, they don't tell them how much they're charging for all this crap. And then like in one day, they'll be like $10,000 and the lonely girl can't pay it. So they're like, okay, Jesus. That's fine. We'll just put you to work. And then the hosts hand off the girl to their Yakuza overlords. And then the Yakuza overlords put them to work in the sex industry.
Jesus. Okay. That's not good.
Nope.
So theoretically speaking, too, if they're just doing this, it only takes like one time, right?
Once. Well, I'm sure that these like...
I'm sure it's like...
The most egregious cases are probably... Like this $60,000 was probably not one time. Yeah, I hope to God it wasn't one time.
Seriously. I mean, it's possible, probably.
Yeah,
but
it says there's an organization that's trying to fight this, and it says people are said to run up tabs in Kabukicho, but 80% of the inquiries are from outside Tokyo. It's a nationwide problem.
Okay, what do they mean by outside Tokyo? Do they mean like Kanagawa or like Yokohama, all the surrounding areas, or do they mean like
they probably like area? I mean Osaka, Yokohama, you know, Kobe, probably even Fukuoka. I mean, I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen here in Kagoshima because
I mean,
we don't even have good. We don't have good-looking guys here. I mean, let's just start there.
I mean,
to Bungadori, I don't see hot guys.
Fair enough. So, I mean, neither do I guess.
But some of those hosts, what was it called? There is an Osaka the Happiness Place. It's a documentary, guys. I think it's on YouTube. I recommend everybody watch this. It's called The Happiness Place. If you Google that, The Happiness Place, Osaka. It's a documentary about a host. They just follow this guy around while he lives his life. And it's the saddest fucking thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
I mean, I could imagine it probably is.
Like, guys, the people that go to a host bar that want to drink... What a host bar is, girls go there. Mostly girls go there. They drink with a guy. The guy's like, they're, you know, Oshimen or whatever. They buy him drinks and they pay for their own drinks, that kind of thing. The women who go there are usually women who are being... like used themselves. So they're in the entertainment industry and they just want someone to control that is safe.
Right.
So it's this like incredible, like horrible cycle of people abusing each other over money.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
That definitely makes sense.
It's terrible.
I mean, like I don't really know, maybe you know better than I do, but I feel like in Kagoshima, that's not nearly as much of an
issue. We don't have hot guys. First, you need the hot guys to lure the girls in. We don't have the hot guys. No, I'm kidding. We don't really have that here because mostly that happens in the major cities where there's actually money, and there's not a lot of money here, so there's no reason to do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of crime, you have a story that is amazing. It comes with a video.
Oh, yeah. So, Tokyo shop employee fights off three robbers with man catcher pole arm in Ueno.
Can we look at this video? Let's go to the video. Here we go. So these guys, three guys walk into like a jewelry shop and they're like trying to steal from this guy. And then the boss ass owner comes up. He's waving around. I think that's called a Satsumata. And he's just like, he just bossed his way through it.
Or he just walks in there. He's like, don't fuck with me again.
It's like when you're playing a game and you're like, you're way low level for a cave and that you go into and like, just like the boss mob comes out. That's exactly what this is like.
It's a real life episode of GTA or something.
I was trying to say the other day, okay, I was in Fukuoka and I came out of my hotel and there was just like fire trucks everywhere, police cars everywhere, and a helicopter. And I kept trying to think, I was like, how many stars do I have from GTA? You know, the police. I was just
saying, the full five?
I was like, what? How many was it? I was trying to think about that the entire time I was walking through all this mess. I still have no idea what happened.
Don't look up.
Let's get to other, this is not exactly illegal stuff, but it is kind of funny stuff. Barking deer in Japan cause havoc for human population. There's really not a lot to say about this story. Basically, 20 years ago from China and Taiwan, these things called a M-U-N-T-J-A-C, which I think is mutjak. We're going to call it a kion from now on because in Japanese they're called kion and I can actually read that word. So these kion come from Taiwan and from China. They came 20 years ago and they are a nuisance for two reasons. They eat the crops of the farmers and they make noise. And I think we have this sound, I hope. We will have this sound soon.
Fingers crossed. Barking deer.
It doesn't really bark. It's more like... There we go. So it's been described as an old man yelling or a barking dog.
I was going to say I've heard that exact noise in Temmonkan before.
Dude, I live in Temmonkan and I'm so glad that my apartment is soundproof. Oh my God. I open my windows every now and then. I was like, damn, it's fucking loud here.
My old one was not, and there were some noises coming out of that park at night.
Josh lives next to Bozo's Okulan, apparently. He's like, they're always racing there. You know what? It's just around the street from your apartment. I know exactly where they are. It's like a little shop that they make their little stupid bikes in. And then they noisily ride them around.
Those bastards at like 4 a.m. Yeah. Are like, I hate them.
I know exactly where they live. We can go and give them a visit. But what they're doing is not illegal. Unless they're breaking traffic laws, they're not doing anything illegal.
Well, I don't give a shit if it's illegal or not. They used to wake me up at 4 a.m. every day.
Yep. Well, like, speaking of people that you want to shoot without hesitation, the title of this story is Shoot Without Hesitation. Japan expert warned of non-hibernated sleepless bears. So this is hilarious. Basically, what this is that because it's warm and there's a lot of people in the world because of global warming, these bears don't go into hibernation mode. So they walk around during the warm winter and they try to get food. And they're apparently dangerous.
And they're, well, I mean, no shit. They don't sleep.
They don't hibernate. So they're like grumpy. They're frumpy. They're also known as urban bears that appear in densely populated city and town centers. They become used to humans and they repeatedly come down to people's dwellings to root through household garbage. People need to take precautions to keep bears away by making sure that household garbage is properly disposed of even in winter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds unpleasant to say the least.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Beats Battlestar Galactica.
That is from The Office. That is my one of my favorite shows.
That's right. Yeah. It is from The Office.
Yeah.
It's Dwight, right?
Yeah, it's Dwight. It's Jim making fun of Dwight. Yeah. He goes, what is this? And he goes, Michael! I love that show. Your story is the last story. Okay, wait, here we go. So speaking of a surge in things that we don't want, Yokohama sees surge in foreign ladyboys on its back streets. I love how they use back street.
Backstreets, yeah.
The lifting of travel restrictions in a post-COVID world has had the undesired effect of a surge in ladyboys in southwest Tokyo. In 2019, two male prostitutes were detained by Kanagawa police, prefectural police, but there were no cases over the next 3 years during the pandemic. But now there is a surge in arrests of ladyboys in this area. And this is the most interesting thing about this story, and we both learned this today for the first time. An investigative source griped that the legal provisions are behind the times. Those found guilty of soliciting prostitution can face up to 6 months in prison or a maximum fine of $67. That's not a lot. But those penalties apply solely to women, So male prostitutes can only be detained with lighter penalties under the prefectural ordinance. Male prostitutes begin working on the streets in Wakabacho and the surrounding areas around 20 years ago, according to investigative sources. Their clientele, men from within Kanagawa and elsewhere, often learn about such activities via the internet or magazines on blah, 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 whatever. So anyway, they can't arrest them for prostitution because you can only be a prostitute if you're a woman.
That's so dumb. I mean, that's... I could say that's so dumb, but like that's the kind of shit we kind of get used to hearing about. And
you're
just
like, you're like, of course. They're of like, course, yeah, only it, women can be prostitutes.
It eventually becomes like a reaction. It's like, like, whatever. I guarantee you it's just some old law from some old guy somewhere who didn't feel like changing it.
Dude, there's like, the whole thing on prostitution, I'm no legal expert, flash the thing again. It's like, don't listen to legal advice from me.
This is not legal
advice. I'm pretty sure that prostitution's only illegal if it's penetrative. Like straight sex.
Yeah, and I think there's even loopholes around that.
Yeah, and
too,
so that's why I think that like oral sex and stuff like that is totally okay. Whereas like penetrative, normal, this is that normal, hetero, whatever, you know, either missionary
basically
position.
Something goes in there.
Between a man and a woman. That's like the only thing that's illegal. Everything else is A-okay.
Birds and the bees talk or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just like pachinko. They're like, gambling is illegal in Japan. And they're like, okay, we're going to make a pachinko parlor where you can use little steel balls to make more steel balls. And then next to that, we're going to have a completely unrelated business where you can exchange those steel balls for money.
Oh, that's not gambling.
Maybe. That's not gambling. That's not gambling. Totally that's, not. That's, it's not money. It's little steel
yeah,
balls.
Yeah, exactly. Steel balls.
Steel balls.
Gambling. Yeah. That's no problem.
Let's go to your story, right, sir.
Last one is Kyoto's Ikezu culture of backhanded compliments.
Oh, my God.
Explained in hilarious souvenir sticker series.
Okay, so let's go to a couple of these. Do you have one of the toilet, Josh? Let's throw it in. Just throw it in with editing. That's later. A... Okay, so there's this one that it has like a little... You put it in your toilet. And it's a woman, and it's like, hey, I hope you're enjoying the warm, clean toilet seat that I have prepared for you. So that's like the forward-facing politeness of Kyoto people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you flip it over, and it says, I hope you're not standing to pee. So it's like, enjoy the warm seat. I mean, sit the fuck down. Don't splash pee in my restroom.
That makes sense based off of what I've heard from
Kyoto. Kyoto people are world famous for being...
Like, I don't here's the say, point. Here is how the point is.
I was just going to call them two-faced fuckers, but you like...
Yeah, I mean...
You have an illustration. I like that better. No, No, actually, one of my best friends is from Kyoto. They're good people and bad people
Kyoto.
Everywhere. But yeah, they are well known for it. It's like, I forgot what it was, but it's like, if you go to somebody's house and they give you a certain type of drink, it means get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the thing I don't understand about it, right, is like, you got Kyoto and you got Osaka right under it. And Osaka is the polar opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever pops up here comes out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only time I've ever seen people get mad and get into fights in public mm-hmm. has been in Osaka.
Yep.
And they're right next to each other. You can literally, like, from the tall buildings, you can see the other city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're polar opposite personalities. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Like, where does that come from?
Yeah. I don't know either, but I'll suggest to everybody, if you come to Japan, if you're visiting, I suggest waking up in the early morning and go to Kyoto and get that shit all out of your system.
Yeah,
and
see
then,
the temples, do yeah, all the nice stuff.
All the stupid shit, and then come over to Osaka for the nightlife.
Yeah, 100%.
Because nightlife in Kyoto is fine. It's like anywhere else. If it's a boring place, it's just fine. Mm-hmm. But Osaka's off the fucking chain.
No, Osaka is another world of nightlife.
It's
like,
crazy.
God, yeah.
I just got sit. Okay, so we're done with the news now. We're going to bullshit for a little bit here. I just got back from Fukuoka, and
right.
I spent a week in Tenjin, and I just got to tell you, that place is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Tenjin's good.
I love Tenjin.
Tenjin's good fun.
But I did notice that Tenjin is now half Korea. There's so many Korean tourists there.
I mean, it's like, I flew from Fukuoka to Korea. It's literally like the plane goes up and it goes down in 10 minutes.
No, it really does. And so like there was just Korean people everywhere. And I was just sitting there, like, I used to think that when Chinese tourists came in mass, that was annoying.
Yeah.
And then now there are Koreans in Fukuoka. I'm just thinking, I'm like, I think it's just whenever you get enough people in a foreign country, it just turns to shit.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what it
100%.
Is.
I mean, they're dealing with the over-tourism thing. Yeah. They're always talking about that in the news here.
And so,
well.
And I was trying to picture, I was like, okay, instead of having a billion Koreans in Tianjin, if there was a billion Americans, would this be better? No, it'd probably be like three times worse. No,
it'd probably be six times worse.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah. But
where's
anyway.
Where's the Bud Light?
Dude, and that's the thing is when I'm in Fukuoka and I'm speaking in Japanese to everybody, everybody's just shocked.
Yeah.
They're like, why do you speak Japanese?
I've had that happen too.
I'm like, I'm in Japan. Why don't I speak Japanese? Because they're used to people that don't speak any Japanese.
So when I was climbing Mount Fuji, there was a bunch of groups of like American GIs. Because at that time, that was kind of like towards the end of like Kakuri. Like, how do you say that in English? Isolation.
Yeah, like, the closed country.
Yeah, basically when people couldn't come in, right?
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of groups of American GIs who were already stationed here.
Yeah, because they could come in.
Yeah, they could come in. And I would, like, I think part of them assumed that I was part of, like,
them. Yeah.
And I would go up to a Japanese person, I start speaking Japanese to them, and they all look at me like,
son, what in the hell just came out your mouth? Like, what in the violation of basic freedoms was that?
But that's from other Americans. I understand that. I'm talking about Japanese people. I'm like, dude, I'm in your country.
Oh, yeah, that too. That too.
I'm like, what? And so they're just used to people not speaking Japanese.
Yeah, and then they like kind of panic and they're like, what, do I speak English or do I speak Japanese?
I went to a bar in Tianjin. Big shout out. It's called Cheers. Okay. It was really, really fun. And the owner there, he's Nikkei-jin, born in Japan, but then raised partially in America or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
But like, he's like, I speak English. He just speaks English. I mean, he speaks a little bit of Japanese, but he was telling me like he doesn't really get on in Japanese. And I'm looking at him like, he's just a Japanese man and he's speaking perfect like California English to me, saying that he'd never really studied Japanese or whatever. I'm just like, that's weird. That happens.
It does happen though. It's like, yeah, sometimes like when you're in Japan, especially when you're in Kagoshima, you get used to just being able to say whatever the hell you want
in English.
Yeah. And then every once in a while, there'll be some person who's looking at you like,
so I have a problem when every time I go back to the States, I'll say like the most vile, horrible, cussing shit in front of everyone, even little kids. And then I have to think, right, you can all understand me.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck. I mean, not fuck. I mean, hi, everybody. I'm sorry for cussing in front of your 4-year-old.
Sorry, the little Billy.
No, because
gonna hear it eventually.
Because cuss words aren't really a thing in Japanese. You know, there's like, I mean, I guess you have so.
Yeah, like, but it's not like the same. It's not like fuck or something.
Right? Yeah, we don't have those words. I recently learned that cuss words come from a different part of your brain than normal words.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why people with Tourette's say vile things. Because what a cuss word is a howl or a bark or a yelp. Like if you go and I don't recommend this, but if you go stomp on a puppy dog, it'll make a squealing noise.
Right?
That is what a cuss word is to a human.
Really?
So it comes from a different part of your brain. That's why Tourette's people can't control that, and that's why they're always saying things like tits and, you know, fuck and stuff like that.
Yeah. So wait, is it something like it comes from it's like a habit sort of thing or something? Like,
not really a habit. It's more of like we used to be monkeys and we used to howl at the moon, or like when we get hurt, we would say something. And so that's
that
our
far back. Eh?
That's our our new thing to do is cuss words. So it's true because like whenever I stomp my like I hurt myself, like I notice that there's no thinking. It just comes straight out.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
right. And so like, yeah, it comes from a different part of the brain. I learned that recently.
Huh.
I also learned something else that'll fucking blow all you guys' minds. There was a study that was done where they told women that they're going to scar them. They're going to put a prosthetic scar on their face.
Well, that's not traumatizing at all.
And then they're going to take the women and put them into an interview situation, like a job interview. And then the women were supposed to figure out if they were being discriminated against for being ugly. Okay.
Okay.
But what they did, because researchers are fucking funny, is they, right before they sent the woman to the interview, they say, oh, let's touch up your makeup one really quick time. And they removed the scar entirely. So they had no disfigurement.
Really?
And then they sent the women into the interviews. And so when they came out, what do you think they said? 100% of them said, you know, they were so discriminatory towards me. It was awful. They quoted certain words that the interviewer was using that was wrong and blah, 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 blah. And the thing is, they had no disfigurement whatsoever.
Right.
So what this study kind of shows is that whatever you feel inside of you, you then project into the world and manifest that reality.
I mean, I could definitely see that being true. Did they kind of specify as to what they were being
discriminated against?
Yeah, like... yeah, it's all in the study. I mean, I didn't read the study, right. But
probably pretty long study.
But yeah, no, it's all in there. And I was just like, that makes so much sense. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty wild, hey.
So I learned stuff. I learned stuff from YouTube. Yeah. I learned stuff from YouTube. You learned stuff from our YouTube too, don't you guys?
A lot of internet degeneracy from YouTube.
Yeah, but we're kind of degenerate on here. We provide valuable information for at least 30 or 40% of the show.
Source news.
And on top of that, Natsuki, she provides comic relief.
Okay.
Actually, like most of the comments on our podcast are like, I love Natsuki. It's all about her. If I think we could just like all disappear and Natsuki could just like do the show by herself and still be fine.
I could see that. Something that was really funny with Natsuki is we went out when we went out to the pub quiz night.
Yeah.
She like everybody's all like waiting patiently and stuff in the line for the bathroom because there's only one bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's waiting all patiently. And Natsuki's like, I really gotta pee. She's the only one out of all these polite like Japanese people just waiting for the bathroom. She's like, that's why I like her a lot. She's funny.
So the last time I went to Osaka, I was just randomly there the same time as she was there. And so like me and Natsuki and her husband and Ricky all partied. Was that Ricky? No, that wasn't Ricky. Dan, another guy. We all partied in Osaka and Natsuki in Osaka is just fucking off the wall.
Oh, I could believe that.
It's just like, this is before she had kids too. She was just like insane. I was just like, lady, I can't keep up with you. I love that woman. She's great. She's great. She's got a English coaching job that she's kind of doing.
Oh yeah.
Kind of serious about it. I'm going to make her a webpage for that shit. I was like, dude, I'm going to make your webpage. She's like, thanks. I mean, that's how serious she is about her job. She's not even thinking about a webpage. She's got an Instagram account where she like posts nonsense and she's like, dude, but she's very serious about the job.
Right.
When you get her to be your English coach, she's very, very serious about it.
But like, I can see that.
This is like the lead up to that point. It's just like Natsuki shit.
Right.
I love that girl.
Wait, is she from Kagoshima originally?
She's from her dad is like rich as fuck. So she was like, she was just like, I can do whatever I want. I'm never going to get in trouble.
Okay.
And so she's always lived her life like that. And then she went to California and California made it worse.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And so she just like, she just lives her life. I love that woman. She's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, Keegan, what did you think about the podcast? It's your first time. I made you wait a long time while I was monitoring a monitor. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. No, it's fun. I don't know where to look.
So here's what happens. See that middle camera right there? That's the one.
So there's three cameras like right in front of me. And
right.
I'm like,
so that middle camera is the one that we look at.
Middle one's the one we look at.
When we're both on the screen. When it's only you on the screen, you look on the most right one.
Right.
So, and then if it's just me on the screen, then you look over on the left one.
Okay.
So that's how it'll work. But most of the time, what Natsuki does is she looks at the monitor behind the cameras and just looks at herself the whole time.
Yeah, I might have done that a couple of times.
No, it's when you're on live TV, it's kind of similar to this situation. The monitor is usually below the cameras. And so like when you put a guest on TV, they will just look down at the monitor the entire time.
Yeah.
It's really funny. We're told not to do that, but they'll just like look at themselves on TV the entire time.
Well, I'm just like, do I look over here or do I look over here?
Look wherever the fuck you want, Keegan. It's a free country. Mostly free. I mean, you can't have a prostitute unless the prostitute's a guy.
$67 fine for women.
Well, because it says Ichima yen. And I was just like, how much is 10,000 yen in American dollars now? And $67. That's so sad.
Is it really that low? Jeez.
I'm trying to build myself a computer. It's like, how much is our computer parts that are based in US dollars?
Yeah.
It's like so expensive right now.
I'm just trying not to think about it, honestly.
Just wait it out. Just keep waiting.
Wait it out.
When I came to Japan 20 years ago, it was like 130 yen to the dollar. And then like several years later, it was like 78 yen to the dollar.
Okay.
So at that time, I traveled abroad. And now it's just swung. It just swings back and forth.
I got to go back. Or I got to go to California.
You go to California.
So. Gonna be.
You're gonna have to bring some toothpaste back. Guys, here's some more information. So in Japan, they don't put fluorine in their toothpaste. Why? Because I don't know, reasons. And so nobody has good teeth in Japan.
Yeah, I've got like a stockpile of toothpaste.
You gotta bring me some, dude.
Yeah, I'm bringing everybody toothpaste. And
yeah, the two things that they don't have here, I mean, I guess you can get them from the internet, but like the two things that you don't readily available here are toothpaste that has fluoride in it, which, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't put it in there, and then Old Spice deodorant.
Yeah, Old Spice deodorant, especially. Like, just
Japanese
those
people just don't stink. Well, the stinky ones stink, but like,
I mean,
they don't.
I beg to differ. If you've been in a junior high school classroom,
that's
after
kids.
Get out of.
I went to the gym the other day at 4:30 p.m. because I had a nomikai yesterday.
Right.
And it was a bunch of high school kids in there, like they were stretching and doing sit-ups. I'm like, why are you here? You can do this at home.
Oh, man. I about had an aneurysm today. Like, there was a guy. I went into the gym this morning.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who got onto the bench press.
Yeah.
And he would just do, like, a set of two reps.
Yeah.
Put the thing back. And he'd sit there on the bench on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he'd watch for about 30 minutes. And then he'd go back and he'd do, like, one more thing.
Were you trying to get in?
I was trying to get in. I was trying to get in.
Tell that motherfucker. Like, get the hell
out of here. Oh, I did eventually. It took me about an hour to do so. And I was just, like, doing everything else. And finally, I was like, dude, how much longer is this going to take? Like, with the connotation,
get the fuck out.
Yeah, the Kyoto tatemai of, of hurry the fuck up,
Did you turn around and show a different face to him? It's like, hey, can you fuck off?
Yeah, basically that's what it was. Like, hey,
but you could use a Smith machine.
No, I couldn't have because I was deadlifting. So that's just not.
Yeah. I don't know. Do they have the reservation system there?
No.
Yeah, we got to tell them
at the Kamuike one, but they don't have it at the.
I'm going to switch to your gym because our gym sucks, asshole. I mean, look, our gym says gentleman for the toilet, and it's like put on backwards. It's a clear plastic thing that says gentleman backwards on it. It's and there's like, you saw the spider bro. You saw the picture of that.
Yeah. Well, man, I was like, I forgot my keys the other day, and like, I was only there for. What, 2 seconds trying to get my keys from Ricky?
Yeah.
And I had a look in there. And I was like, jeez.
Sucks, man. Sucks ass.
Yeah, it's not great.
Sucks ass.
Not
every great. Now and then there's a hot guy in there. That's about it. There's nothing. There's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. It sucks. And it's gentleman reversed. And the toilet in there, I can't kick to flush. I don't touch toilets. I've talked about this on the show before. So I put my foot up to flush. And they have this obstacle. Like impeding my way to flush the toilet with my foot. So I fucking hate that gym. There's a bunch of other reasons why I hate it. But
anyway. Why did you sign up for it? Why didn't you? Because
Ricky's
go back
there. Because Ricky's like Ricky's like coaching me and shit. Oh, I was like, I looked at him. I was like, I want to be like three times my size. I want to be fucking ridiculously big. Okay. And he's like, why? I'm like, I haven't even yet to peacock. And he's just like, okay. I was like, okay, let's do this.
Ask no questions. No further questions.
All right, guys. That's been our show today. If you liked the show, give us a like. If you didn't like it, don't do anything because it's rude to dislike a show that we worked really hard on. All the articles are linked in the video description. And there's a link to our Patreon where you can support us. Gigan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We're going to have you on the show more often. I think we're going to do shows with more guests simultaneously at the same time. It's right. Like more discussion, so it's going to be fun. But anyway, thank you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening, and a special thank you to our Patreon sponsors, Jan Myler, Jen, Justin Perkins, Ellen, Dennis P., Ellen Mary, Clayton Jung, aka Back in the Clay YouTube, Corey Smith, and Joshua. We appreciate all of your support. Thank you.